Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Wednesday, and it is 9, so we are joined by Doug Whaley. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Thank you to Mark Caboli for texting me saying, if you watch on YouTube, you can see what I'm looking at on my computer screen because of the reflection in the window behind me.
Yeah. Speaking of YouTube, shout out to Christy Davis, Derek Davis, I grew up with. She's now watching on the YouTube stream, and she's fully invested into our show. So shout out Christy.
That is awesome to hear. Is that another made up relative? Or
no, Davis, not Dickerson.
Oh, sorry, misheard you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Monster Ball is the movie.
Yes.
May or may not have been what Caboli saw a reflection of in the window behind me. Doug Whaley joins us now. Doug, thank you for joining us. I know you're super busy this week. How you doing, bud?
Best day of the week, but shout out to Caboli to make sure you know not to put anything nefarious on your computer screen because people will bust you.
Yeah, I had never thought about that before, and I'm happy that he's only caught onto that now. What are you giggling about?
Nothing. No. Nothing.
Remember my mistake from last week?
When you accidentally found yourself on a porn site on a work computer?
From Monsters Ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to stop talking about Halle Berry.
That's you.
Because if I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to Google it, and then it's just going to, it's bad.
You brought her up.
Doug, Pitt, Notre Dame on Saturday. Will you be in attendance?
Unfortunately, I will not be, but I will be glued to the TV. It's a big game. I mean, I'm stating the obvious. I'm Oliver Obvious here, but it's exciting. When you look at the Pitt program, and obviously they had those two stumbles during the year, but they're starting to hit their stride, and Notre Dame's Notre Dame. They got a really solid team after slipping up early against Florida State, so it's going to be a battle of the Titans. And I know I caught word of Narduzzi's comment about Notre Dame, and in the grand scheme of things, when he's just looking at ACC, I get it, but I think it's also a very good test to see where this team is, and more importantly, where this quarterback that has come on to the scene and breathed some life into that program, to see where he is in his career and his maturation process, trying to become another great Pitt quarterback.
Doug, do you look at Notre Dame as a Pitt rival?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say it's more of less of a rival, but more of, hey, that's big brother, and anytime we get to play him, I want to knock him out.
Hmm. Notre Dame leads the all-time series 50-21-1. I mean, it's kind of like Penn State in a way, because, you know, those are the brands that every year there's the expectation of greatness. But we were talking about it earlier, Doug, when you compare the list of Pitt's all-time great team against that of Notre Dame's, I mean, it's hard for anybody to best Pitt.
It is. I mean, when you start looking at the top players in college football, Pitt is up there with every one of the Blue Bud football programs. And obviously, national championships, ours have been earlier in our school's history. But when you just purely look at the numbers, like you said, it's hard to say. And I think there was something about like the top 75 college football players or something came out, and Pitt had the most on that list. And the Pitt football history, if people don't know, do your research.
Doug, you were talking about Eli Holstein. We're going to get to the Steelers in just a second here. And not Holstein, Mason Heinschel. I can't believe I just did that. Mm-hmm. But anytime we talk about Pitt, anytime we talk about him, we get flooded on the text line on Twitter, sometimes the phones, with people who are pessimistic about whether or not he's going to stay for next season and beyond. I don't view it that way. They paid Holstein to stick around. I don't know why they wouldn't do the same for this kid, and he seems like a loyal one. Is that something that you think Pitt fans should be worried about?
I mean, it's obviously that question's always going to be out there just because of the nature of college football these days. But it's one of those things right now that I know the whole team is focused on Notre Dame and what they can accomplish after Notre Dame in the ACC. And the business side is going to take care of the business side. So I think everybody's focus, especially Mason and especially Coach Narduzzi, is Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and then Miami. And they'll cross that business side after the season when everybody should focus on the business side. But right now, it's all about football.
All right. Flipping it now to the Steelers. A lot of smoke out of New York that the Giants would be interested in trading for Mike Tomlin at the end of the season, Doug. We'll obviously get into the game from Sunday night and talk about the current day stuff. But New York Post, The Athletic, Rich Eisen, all kind of pointing in that direction. Do you see, if the Steelers were to crater out this year, the possibility of the Steelers maybe trading Mike Tomlin to the Giants? Would that make sense from their standpoint and from his standpoint?
Well, let's go back to a couple years ago, and I got to make sure I say this and enunciate my words so some people don't take it the wrong way. When I said Steelers fans should be worried about USC and LSU, and then it turned in LSU and USC are going after Tomlin. No. But from that, we all heard, never say never, but I'm not leaving the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to me, Mike Tomlin, I would put, if I was a betting man, I'd bet more that he's going to retire or relinquish his duties as the Steelers coach and go on the media before he gets traded and takes a job with another team. Yeah, I just feel from that last back and forth and the flirting by USC and LSU to him, he cemented the fact that he is a Pittsburgh Steelers football coach, and that's all he's focused on. And if he is not coaching, if he's going to coach again, it's only going to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So from his point, I don't see that happening. From the Steelers' point, I can get the connections with the family connections. My whole thinking is, if out of all the jobs that may open up, I think the Giants' job is the best job to have. One, you have now we have to figure out this concussion thing with Dart, but you have a quarterback, you have a neighbors, you have a wide receiver, so you have to a playmaker to go with your quarterback. Scataboo, I'm not sold on him yet, but anyway, he's being productive. You got to build up that offensive line, but their defense, if you look at their defensive front, they have talent. So you're not walking into a team where the cupboard is bare. And more importantly, you're not walking in a team where you got to find a quarterback. So that is going to be an attractive job, and I can see why everybody's trying to connect the dots. Like I said, the family relationship between the Maras and the Rooneys. And maybe they'll work something out, and then that could be a way where the Steelers say, we didn't fire Tomlin, we just decided to trade him to a family member. But to me, again, just reading what Tomlin said when I brought that up last time, I think he's a Steeler coach or no coach at all.
Doug, do you think that Art is really thinking about this though? Like, do you think that what would it take for Art to even, you know, have this thought pop into his mind to explore options of trading Mike Tomlin? What would it take?
It would have to take where they say, you give us Tomlin, we'll give you Jackson, Dart, Malik Nabers, Thibodeau, Burns, and 3 first-rounders. Hmm. Then Art's going to be like, love you. I mean, everybody be like, I love you, coach. But he is, as the owner, the steward of the franchise. And his job is to make sure he puts that franchise in positions to compete for championships. And if someone makes an offer like that, as loyal as he is to Mike Tomlin and as much as he loved Mike Tomlin, I think everybody would be like, Art, you got to make that deal. But it's going to be one of those deals where it would be bigger than the Herschel Walker trade, I feel, just because the affinity that Art has for Mike Tomlin.
Sean Payton, Bruce Arians, Herm Edwards, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, Mike Holmgren, Bill Parcells, all traded as coaches. Just hypothetically, how do you even broach that subject? Because, like, if Art goes to Tomlin and says, hey, we got an offer to trade you, would you be interested? I mean, that effectively ends the relationship there, no?
Yeah, here's how you do it. you have, let's say the Giants, they call Art and say, hey, we're thinking about it. And he goes, okay, on the down low, you call his agent and gauge his interest and what it would take. So then that takes Art out of it. And it's like, then Tomlin's agent's like, hey, the Giants reached out to us and they're thinking about calling Art and gauge Tomlin's interest from there. And that's how the initial call would go and how you get that conversation started. Because like you said, if Art does it, then it's kind of, then it's the fray in the relationship. Unless Art goes, hey man, just, I want you to hear it from me that Giants called. Do you want to discuss, or what do you want me to say to them? And then that's another way. But I think it's first you go through the agent to gauge Tomlin's interest, especially since he's been on record of saying he's got the best job in football.
So it would really be a Giants-Tomlin thing before the Steelers even really got involved.
Yes, to preliminary, but Art would obviously know it from the jump. With their relationship and the family ties, they're going to let Art know. And I think Art would say, hey, listen, before I even entertain him more, you talk to his agent to see, because it's something that, and he'd also say, and you're going to have to pay, overpay.
We're going to get into the current day team coming up in a couple of moments. One last question sort of on this tree here. It was reported by Jerry Dulac that the Steelers had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart, which if that's true, obviously Tomlin would like the guy. I find it hard to believe, though, and you're the perfect guy to ask, if you have a first-round grade on a quarterback and you are quarterback needy, would you ever take a player that was similarly graded at a different position?
Only way you would do that, especially because quarterback's the most important position on a football team and maybe in sports, only way you wouldn't do that is if there was something off the field, and I'm not saying character, was it injuries, and maybe they had to worry about his concussion rate. Maybe it's something about his learning where they brought him in and his board work just wasn't up to standard. So ability-wise, he was ranked first, but there are some, when we used to put dots on the draft card to alert, hey, medical alert, intelligence alert, character alert. So there may be something that dropped him a round or two so you could have a first round, but if it's a medical alert, you wouldn't take him in the first, but you take him in the second or the third. So these are the background information that we aren't privy to that go a lot into making these decisions. It's not as cut and dry as us in the media portray it to be. Oh, he's the best player out there. Well, if you have a first-round grading quarterback, there's other factors that go into where you ultimately draft that guy. So, yes, I can. It's a long way of saying they could have had a first-round grade on, but there could be something else that would have dropped him out of the first round in their eyes.
Doug, you're hot today, man. You are on fire today. We didn't even know if we'd have you, so we're happy we do. Caboli said something weird yesterday. We want your reaction on that. Then we'll get into a signing the Steelers made and how they can turn this season around. That's all on the way with Doug Whaley. It is a Wednesday with Whaley. You can text us if you have any questions for Doug, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, whether you think he deserves to be fired or not deserve to be fired, moved on, tired of it, you're having one of your biggest events of your city, your organization, with the draft coming here in April, and you're going to be just wrapping up or just have a new coach. Do you think that Art Rooney wants to do that with a guy?
Okay, now wait a second.
19 years, and a guy that's been still had under contract until the 2027 season.
Of all the answers you could have given, of all the answers you could have given, that I did not see that one coming. So Mark Caboli says that it would be a non-starter to trade Tomlin at the end of the season or get rid of him at the end of the season because the draft is coming to Pittsburgh. Now, that's not a report. That's speculation. Educated guess from Mark Caboli. It's his opinion. Doug Whaley with us now. Doug, you, the draft can't alter your decision-making.
No.
Okay, good.
No. I mean, I respect Mark, but I disagree because, again, Art's job is to make sure this team is positioned to compete for championships, not to shine light and not have disruption for the draft that's coming to the city of Pittsburgh. And in essence, it may actually, if this happens, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if for some reason Mike Tomlin is not the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and there's a new coach, that still has no effect on the NFL event. It's not a Steelers event. It's not the Steelers putting on the NFL draft. It's an NFL event that happens to be in the Steelers' home city. So the two have no correlation to each other.
I mean, you could even flip it the other way, too. Like, if you wanted to play devil's advocate with Mark. Right. Like, if you traded Tomlin for a first-round pick and you've got a new coach and a new era with the draft in Pittsburgh, that might only make things more exciting for fans.
Absolutely. I'd go that way before I would go his take.
Doug, what did you evaluate for Aaron Rodgers' performance Sunday? It seemed like he was off. It seemed like he wasn't in sync. A lot of the blame has been placed on him for that loss. But do you expect his performance in your evaluation to continue, and are you worried about it?
I'm glad you asked. And it was evident from the first series, he was not comfortable, and give Mentor a very good high five for installing a system on their defensive side that confused Aaron. And that's something that's hard to do for a guy that's been in the league as long as he had. But I think they just sat on the short routes, knowing that the Steelers do not try to attack downfield and make him uncomfortable and try to get pressure on him with that line and Khalil Mack. With all that said, and I said this after the game on the Black and Gold, if I was Cam Hayward, I would get everybody in that locker room to go up to Aaron Rodgers and say, Aaron, we wouldn't have had 5 wins without you. You have been playing at an excellent level for the entire year. This one's on us. We should have stepped up our game to make up for your off day. A guy that's 40-plus years old, to think he's going to be on for 18 straight games is your fault. It should be the rest of the team saying, hey, if he's off, we have to raise our game up and pick him up because he's picked us up throughout the whole year. And that's the message I have. Do I have concerns? Not yet. Is it something that, hey, everybody has a bad game, especially when you have a guy that's an advanced in his career. I haven't seen anything to say that this is going to become a trend, but we'll have to wait and see. But for me, and Dorn, I'd like to hear your thought process on this. The way I was taught in this business is if you have a quarterback, you just need him to be playing at 85 to 90% to have a chance. But if you don't have a quarterback, or if your quarterback's not playing at that, everybody else has to be playing at 85 to 90% to have a chance. And the rest of the team did not do that when the quarterback was off. So to me, it's everybody's going to blame Aaron Rodgers. I think it's the rest of the team saying, our guy's off, let's pick him up.
I totally agree. I mean, that's clearly what the situation was at hand. Nobody really stepped up. It looked like that everybody was still in Pittsburgh when they showed up. And we've seen that a lot with Mike Tomlin teams. So I put a lot more on Mike Tomlin. That's just me for that loss than Aaron Rodgers because he didn't have everybody ready.
Yeah. I'm we're saying the same thing. And you're looking at the coach, which is definitely part of it. I'm looking at those teams. But I think the way I'm looking at it is to get over this, to get everybody on the same page and trying to move forward because this is a critical juncture in the season. Because if they have this feeling manifest when they go out there in Cincinnati at home, if the Bengals beat them at home and go sweep them for the year, man, oh, man, it's going to get very, very ugly, not only in the public, but then there's those seeds of major doubt in that locker room.
Doug Whaley joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We talked about that a little bit today. that, you know, if Joey Porter Jr. catches the ball, or if Kyle Duggar catches the ball, yep, or even if Jonnu Smith, it wasn't his fault, but if he finds a way to make a circus catch, even though he's getting creamed by the inaccurate throw from Rodgers, like, those could all have been game-changing plays, and maybe then that untaps something where the offense gets their mojo back. But food for thought, Russ threw six games last year, 10 touchdowns, 3 picks, 104 rating. Then Russ threw the final five games, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 84.7 rating. You say you are not worried yet. We're all in the same camp on that. He deserves to have one bad game and consider it a mulligan until shown otherwise. But if he struggles against Cincinnati or Chicago, I'll be in panic mode, Doug, because those defenses are bad, and he has owned Chicago in his career.
Yes, yes. And then that's when the alarm bells go off. But my question is, when your alarm bells go off, what's your option?
Right.
I mean, where are you
going to
go?
Probably watch Red Zone.
Are you going to go to Mason? So, like I said, this is an inflection point on the season where it's going to get very, very interesting, like I said, if he has a bad game. And then that's where it's really, my focus is going to be, not only will be the coaching staff one, but the locker room too. And can the coaching staff keep the locker room and have them believing? And what type of scheme are they going to come up with, or personnel they're going to insert to instill some confidence in that locker room and the players in that, from that locker room? It's going to be interesting. And as they say, get your popcorn ready.
Doug Whaley brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. When we came back, the Steelers made a sign, and they got two guys on the practice squad that might be able to help them. Maybe as soon as this week. We'll get to that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can join 93.7 The Fan for a toast to the fan at the Drum Bar inside Rivers Casino on Monday, November 17th, as we celebrate winning the 2025 Marconi Award for Large Market Station of the Year. This incredible honor wouldn't be possible without you, our loyal listeners. So we're saying thanks the best way we know how. The Fan is buying the first 300 guests a drink. Come raise a glass with us. Hang out with your favorite hosts. Celebrate another amazing year of Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio. We cannot wait to see you there. There was a line yesterday to get in here for tickets for some Y108 event, but there was no one at the front desk. It was Veterans Day. Everyone was off. Starkey invited a nice man onto the air who said he was going to come to this Marconi event. The guy said he went down to Florida, was in a bar, saw Ron Cook at the bar, asked Ron if he could take a picture. Ron said, "I don't do pictures." But he said Ron had a beautiful woman on either side of him.
Come on.
Sipping on a drink. And a smirk from ear to ear. That's what he said.
Come on.
Swear to God, that's what he said. Now, did he see that? I think so. He's a West Virginia guy, so we never lie. Doug Whaley joining us for the remainder of the show. Doug, one last thing on Rodgers, because you said if he plays poorly, where do you turn? I don't think, even if the Steelers are mathematically eliminated, that Mike Tomlin would ever bench Aaron Rodgers unless he were injured. Do you agree with that?
I can't argue with that. I think everybody's all in. The question would be, would Aaron come in being a steward of the game and say, "Coach, I respect you too much. I respect the organization too much. And I respect my legacy too much to go out and put this out there, especially if this is my last year. you need to put someone else in. I don't know. I'm not saying he would do that. I'm saying, in my opinion, I would hope he would do that, because the last thing you want to do with a storied career like that is to go out your last 8 or 9 games looking a shell of who you are, because everybody just really remembers, and where that the society, unfortunately, is what you did last. And time will obviously heal that, but here in Pittsburgh, everybody's going to be like, man, we start out like a hot house of fires, but the end of the year, I mean, look at what people think of Russell Wilson now. So does he want to go out like Russell Wilson? I don't know. I would hope he wouldn't, but I'm in agreement, long way of saying I'm agreeing with you. I don't think Tomlin benches him.
Doug, are you disappointed in DK Metcalf so far?
No, he is what he is. Let me say this. I'm disappointed in the lack of consistency of his hands, the drops, but he is what he is. He's a catch and run type guy. He's not a let me pure route runner that's going to break people's ankles coming in and out of cuts. He's a big, strong target that once he gets his ball in his hand, that's where he's the most dangerous. So definitely disappointed in the drops, but he has shown what I thought he was, and I think everybody knew who he was.
He needs some help, Doug. Do you think that could come in the way of Marquez Valdez-Scantling this week, and do you think that it should?
I think, why not? What are you saving him for? Get him up there and get him on this moving train, and it's very interesting to me. And again, if he's ready. Now, physically, is he in shape? Can he handle it? If those questions are checked off, and you're, yes, get him out there because of that connection he has with Aaron Rodgers. They can have some nonverbal communication, and they probably see things very similar. Or Mark MVS knows what Aaron wants. Aaron knows that MVS will perform at that level. So it will be able to give Aaron that security blanket that he may not have or has developed with other receiving options on the Steelers. And like I said, right now, what are you saving him for? Why not?
Doug, is this weekend's game against the Bengals a must-win for the Steelers?
No doubt about it. Mm. If you look at the division, one, you lost 2 to Cincinnati Bengals, and you'd be tied with them. Well, actually behind them, because you lost 2 to them. Baltimore's coming on, and if they win, you just lost the power grip you had on the division, and then not to mention your psyche. It's a must win for them this year, but in essence, for their overall philosophy of how they came about building this roster for this year and maybe for years to come. Their philosophy of building a roster to win the division and then compete in single elimination football. And if you heard Tomlin earlier in the year, I think on the PivotCon podcast, we have guys that can cover the Cincinnati Bengals receivers. And if they go out there and torch you again, you got to say, wait a minute, was the philosophy wrong? Or was our implementation of the philosophy wrong? So they're gonna have to go back and really. And I'm thinking of if this season goes completely off the rails. But this game could be that trigger and I'm always thinking ahead. You know me, I'm looking at the macro of it. Oh no, our off-season plan we thought was so great was not. So now do we change how we attack building our roster? The philosophy, the implementation, the identification. So a lot of questions are not only going to be in that locker room, it's going to be in that front office.
I'm fascinated by the matchup this time around. You know what Flacco's capable of? He hadn't just been torching the Steelers. I mean, the numbers offensively that they've put up since he got there are tremendously, they're huge. You got Ramsey at safety now. You might not have Slay. He's in the concussion protocol. James Pierre has played well when called upon this year. Maybe Asante Samuel Jr. It seems fast, but maybe you throw him out there. Kyle Duggar came in and played 77 of 78 snaps, his first chance. How would you go about defending the Bengals receivers differently this time than the last time?
That's tough, because when you look, if you had your full complement of safeties, and I'm saying this, but even when they tried to be intricate on defense in the coverage, everything was like, oh, our communication was bad. So you can't be intricate. And if you're down Slay and you just want to go vanilla, just cat coverage. You got that, man. I don't think James Pierre, I don't think JPP can hang with those two beasts they have as a wide receiver. So they're in a conundrum because you can't try to confuse them because you don't have the pieces back there that have worked together long enough. And Jalen Ramsey, is he astute enough at that safety position now to be able to disguise coverage, communicate to everybody? And if you say, okay, we can't do that, then let's just be basic and say our guys are better than your guys. I think we all can say the secondary is not better than the receiving core for the Bengals. So this is going to be, again, to me, a very pivotal game for not only the players for their belief in each other, but the coaching staff to say, hey, where can we put these guys in positions to be successful so that success breeds success and they get confidence and stuff like that. So this is overall an interesting game to me as an Pittsburgh Steeler organization.
Doug, the Steelers are second to last in the NFL in time of possession. The Bengals are worst in the league in time of possession. Obviously, you're going to have to score some points to win, but I would think you would like to change the time of possession trend in this game to keep those wide receivers off the field. Jalen Warren had 14 carries, even though he was their best offensive player the other night. He hasn't had more than that in a single game this season, and he only played 46% of the snaps. Help me understand why the hell they're not using that guy.
Yeah, that's a curious thing, and I think whoever's at the Steelers facility when Arthur Smith gets on the mic, you got to ask him and say, hey, listen, if you want to turn the tide of time of possession, the best way to do that is run the ball. And when you run the ball with Jalen Warren, you've had success. So what is the reason for keeping him off the field and not feeding him? That's it. And if you're really nervous about, and that's where Coach Tomlin comes in. Hey, we're down in the secondary. We can't do what we normally want to do to try to shut these guys down. And we didn't do it, shut them down last time. So we need to control the ball and keep them off the field. Arthur, let's go and run the rock and keep the ball in our possession. Now, is it one of those things where now that Taiamalo's out, they don't have that jumbo package and they only feel they can be successful in the jumbo package? That's where I would struggle and say, no, you are Arthur Smith, our offensive coordinator. We didn't pay you to come up with one scheme to be successful. You got to be able to be multiple with the foundation of running the ball. Find other ways to be successful if we can't implement that jumbo package. That's why you're getting 7 to 8 figures to do that.
Speaking of jumbo, you like fried bologna sandwiches?
With barbecue sauce and American cheese? Absolutely.
Adam, man. Mm-hmm. One more segment with Doug Whaley. Sir,
that was big in Buffalo. Fried bologna.
You like the beef on Weck, too? Love the beef on Weck.
Love the beef on Weck. Got to have a lot of horseradish, though.
Oh, I love the horseradish.
Mm-hmm. Open those nostrils. Oh, yeah.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. One more segment with Doug Whaley. Tomorrow we got a banger of a show, special guest at 9. I don't know if we're allowed to announce it or not. Are we allowed to announce it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Special guest at 9. No, I didn't.
So there's somebody else in Tyler Paco?
He's on Friday.
Oh, tomorrow's Thursday. Gosh.
Correct. Quiz Callus.
We just need to ask him what time our guests are coming on, and we might win Quiz Callus.
You know what? We should give him the list of our guests for the next 2 days and ask Callus what they do.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm just thinking about how that would go over in my head, and it's not pretty. Doug, do you think the Steelers, you've called it a must-win, I've called it a must-win, Doran's called it a must-win, it's a must-win. Do you think the Steelers get the win on Sunday?
I do. I think they overt the slide, get the win, restore some faith, not only in each other in that locker room, but in the Steeler nation at large. But does this win cure all their ills?
No.
I won't go that far, no. But I think they'll win this one.
Then it sets up a game against Chicago for a chance to get to 7-4, which I feel like these next two you really got to get.
Yep.
Because the Ravens, yes, they're going to be no worse than 7-5. Though Joe Burrow's coming back and could play in their Thanksgiving game. Real quick, does that make that big of a difference? Here's why. They're scoring a million points with Flacco. The problem ain't the offense.
That is true.
True.
You know what I was thinking about that earlier.
Like, is he going to, like, they scored 42 against Chicago. Would he have scored 50? Maybe. 42 is right. A lot.
No doubt. And I'll tell you this much. That will the Steelers, let's say Rodgers doesn't come back. Will the Steelers think about Flacco next year?
Doug, 1,000%.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. I'll tell you this. Like, here's a guy who could be out there, Kyler Murray. They would take Joe Flacco at 50 over Kyler Murray in his prime.
No doubt. 100%.
Doug,
do our one of the reasons why is he can't go and decimate the Steelers' defense anymore. Right. If you can't beat them, have them join you.
Doug, do our Pitt Panthers get a win Saturday?
Yes. Absolutely. It's going to be a tight game. I think Mason's going to get the deciding score with his legs.
Ooh, calling his shot.
Yes. Now, they do have to stop that running game. I wouldn't say caveat, but if they shut down Notre Dame's running game and that prolific running back, they got a chance, and I think Mason's going to – it's going to be a coming-out party to the country for Mason.
Thank you, Doug.
Love it.
All right, fellas. We'll see you next week. I'll be in studio.
All right.
Thanks,
man.
Doug.
We will see you then. Thank you. The great Doug Whaley. Tomorrow, banger of a show. Banger of a show. We can't give you the details yet, but it's a banger. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 48, low of 35. Tomorrow, high of 47, low of 35. Tomorrow's the basketball game, too.
That's right.
What a week! Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.